Ephesians chapter number 6, go to verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Our Father, I pray that you would guide us today in learning your word. I pray that we would listen to you. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts that we might understand and truly trust you all the more. Guide, direct, and bless. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. As we've been studying the armor of God, we know we've been instructed to put on the armor of God, put it all on and leave it on, and then to put it into use. We've talked about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the cleats of peace, the shield of faith. We've talked about the helmet of hope that we are to put on. Today we come to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Through neglect on the Christian's part, an attack by atheists, the Bible is a relatively unknown book in America today. A recent Gallup poll suggested that 66% of Americans didn't know who preached the Sermon on the Mount. 79% of Americans couldn't name one Old Testament prophet. Newton High School in Wisconsin gave a test of Bible knowledge to their college-bound juniors and seniors, and 80% of them could not complete the phrases, "Many are called, but few are." A soft answer turneth away, but they couldn't answer them. Most of these thought Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers, that Eve was created from an apple, that the authors of the Gospels were Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John, that Jezebel was Ahab's donkey, and one senior in the top 5% of his class answered the question, what was Golgotha? Well, Golgotha was the giant who slew the Apostle David. In America, it is illegal, or at least they want to tell you it is illegal, for a public school teacher to put a Bible on their desk. It isn't, but you try to get one in there and they'll tell you it is. Most courts have to cover the Ten Commandments hanging on their wall because it might sway a jury. Wow. A couple of years ago, an axe murderer had his charges dismissed because the prosecutor quoted from the Bible. And you wonder why we're in the mess we're in? The sword, as he describes it, was 6 to 18 inch sword used in hand-to-hand combat. The Roman soldiers were highly trained and used it very effectively. The sword that we are to be trained in, and we are told exactly what it is, the Word of God. Amen. We need to be trained in it, and we need to know how to use it. It is the most effective weapon when things get tough in the trenches. And things will get tough in the trenches. Amen. You need to know your Bible. You need to know how to use your Bible. You need to know that you can trust your Bible. Number one, the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. Go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse number 7. Psalm 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Word of God is perfect. Let's think about its author for a moment. He is the author. God used 40 different writers on 3 continents in 3 languages over a period of 1,500 years, and there are 0 contradictions. That's a miracle all by itself. If we had everyone in this room today write a part of a letter, correspondence, we had everyone write something to the effect of the Bible, we'd have all kinds of contradictions. And yet, God allowed these 40 different men over that time period to write His book. The author is God. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 20. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spake as the Holy Ghost moved in them. Now, He didn't dictate the words, and yet the words are inspired. He allowed their personalities, them to come through, their writing styles to come through, and yet the entire Word of God is inspired by God, every single word. The words were moved there are the same words used in the book of Acts. When Paul was on the ship, the huge storm breaks out and the ship's about to sink. And he says, finally, we threw everything overboard. We undergirded the ship and then we let down the sails and we let her drive. Those words, let her drive, are the same words here, were moved by the Holy Spirit. He said, this storm was so bad, we took the sails down because we just allowed the sea and the storm to take the ship wherever it wanted to go so that we could survive it. And God says, the Word of God was written by holy men of God as the Holy Spirit moved them, drove them. He guided them, He directed them in the writing of this book. It is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture. How much of it? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, that you might have everything you need to live how God would have you to live. This book is written by God. It is the inspired Word of God. Amen. Another recent poll, the question was asked, is the Bible the inerrant, meaning without error, inspired Word of God? 77% of Lutherans said no. 65% of Baptists said no. 87% of Methodists said no. 88% of Presbyterians said no. 95% of Episcopalians said no. God still says yes. It is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Amen. You can look at history. Every spade that has been put into the ground by an archaeologist buries another critic. That's what you need to understand. That no time has archaeology ever unearthed something that has disproven what the Bible said. One thing that critics said years ago was that Moses couldn't have written the first 5 books of the Bible because written language was not around in his day. Because they couldn't find any, supposedly. Well, they have since unearthed tablets dating written language 3 centuries prior to Moses. No Hittites were ever mentioned in archaeology. So the Bible must be wrong because we can't find any mention of the Hittites. They're just a symbol of evil people. They weren't real. Well, since then, we found 1,200 years of Hittite history. So archaeology doesn't disprove the Bible. It shows that the Bible is true over and over and over again. Amen. Look at Bible prophecy. As you look at Bible prophecy, it's absolutely amazing how it is accurate. 170 years before it took place, Isaiah predicted that a king by the name of Cyrus would allow the people to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Daniel predicted when Jesus Christ would be crucified. And it took place right when he predicted it. Bible prophecy, and you can dig through it, is 100% accurate. 100% accurate. There's only one way that happens, and that is if the author is divine. If the author is God. It is a perfect book written by a perfect author, God Himself. Amen. The Word of God is perfectly preserved. It is preserved for us. Go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8. The grass withereth, flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. How long? Forever. Guess when it's going away? Never. Guess when it will be untrue? Never. The word of God will stand forever. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew, chapter number 24. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away in verse 35, Matthew 24. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They will not pass away. Understand, the Word of God is preserved. Let me tell you today that the Old Testament that you hold in your hand is absolutely reliable. You can understand that you hold in your hand the Word of God. Amen. During the years 100 to 500 A.D., manuscripts were copied of the Old Testament by hand so that we'd have the Word of God. Words were meticulously counted. And the scribes who wrote the Word of God could identify the middle letter of every verse, of every chapter, and of every book. And as they counted forwards and backwards, they would verify every single time that they had the exact same thing written. No mistakes. It was there every single time. Amen. If it wasn't, they put it aside. They put it away. 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and they dated to 3 or 4 BC, and parts of every single Old Testament book was found. As they were compared to what we have today, there was only one variation in every 1,580 words, and that was some kind of minor spelling error. The Old Testament is absolutely reliable. Amen. Recently, the Silver Scrolls were found dating from 600 BC, and again, over 99% the exact same thing that we have. So even from looking from that point of view, you can understand that the Bible you carry is absolutely reliable. Amen. It is the Word of God. What about the New Testament? The New Testament is absolutely reliable. We have over 24,000 pieces of very early manuscripts of the New Testament, 5,000 of which are complete copies. Okay? We don't have anything like that for anything else anybody else has written. The Bible is accurate. God has promised to preserve it for us, and we have exactly what God intended for us to have. Amen. The whole book is truth. In John 17, 17, Jesus Christ prays to the Father and says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. We have the word of God. The word of God is powerful. Go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is quick and powerful. Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. Verse number 11. Isaiah, chapter 55, verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said, my word is powerful. It will accomplish exactly what I send it to do. In Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, where we read, the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. The word powerful was used of a very powerful medicine that when at first taken or first put on a wound, it stung, but then brought comfort and healing. If you will acknowledge, if you remember when you first trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and someone brought the Word of God to you and told you you were a sinner headed for hell, that stung. That didn't feel very good. Chances are that bristled you a little bit and you weren't too excited about that. But then as you realize you were a sinner, but that same Bible tells you that Jesus Christ is the Savior and you trust Him as your personal Savior, it brings comfort and it brings healing, and you will be changed in Jesus Christ, and He will use this book to do it. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. All of the lives that have been changed because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and allowed the Word of God to change them into His image. Amen. This book is powerful. This book is protective. This book is protective. Go to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Look at verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The word blessed there means happy. Happy. The word blessed there speaks of an internal happiness. Not just an outward one based on circumstances, but internal happiness. The word we use very often to describe that happiness is the word joy. The Word of God will protect your joy. If you are in the Word of God and reading the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and keeping the Word of God, you will be blessed by God and there will be joy in your life. Amen. Because God is working in you to do just that. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse number 105, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book will protect your decision making if you allow it to fill your heart and mind. Amen. A light unto your path. Miner's caps. You ever seen a miner's caps? Miner's cap. You put that thing on, there's a lamp on it, and it lights up not the entire cave, the entire tunnel that's out there. It lights up the next few steps. And as you walk into those next few steps, what gets lighted up after that? The next few steps. That's the words that that the psalmist is using here. Your word is that lamp under my feet. It's that light out of my path. And I will, if I follow your book, if I follow your word, if I do what you say, do what you command, do as you ask, I will be following you every step of the way. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It comes from stepping in the light you find in this book. Amen. Every moment of every day. Go to Psalm 34, verse number 4. I'm told that this verse was Abraham Lincoln's favorite verse. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. You can seek him. Where will you find him? On the pages of this book. Amen. It's theirs. It's there. It's for you. Read it. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 16 again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be perfect. That does not mean sinlessly perfect. None of us will be sinlessly perfect in this life. That means to be mature. Throughly furnished unto all good works. This Bible is profitable so that you can mature in your Christian life and have everything you need to live a life that pleases God. Amen. And if you live a life that pleases God, do you know who else is going to be pleased? You will be. Amen. I stand here today as an optimist. But let me tell you, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die. Making you feel better already? You're going to die. And if God allows and grace would have it, you might be coherent when that moment comes. You might have all your faculties and you might be able to think and look back upon your life. And if you've lived a life that pleased God according to the Word of God, you will have zero regrets. None. If you have not, you will. It's just that simple. No one comes to their deathbed and says, you know, I wish I'd been worse. Because there's a certain knowledge. When you reach death, there's someone on the other side. And that someone is the Almighty God. And you're going to hear, well done, or what happened? Read the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. It's protective. In our handling of the Word of God, we need to be precise. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study the word of God so that you can, like a workman, like a wall builder, a bricklayer, would lay these bricks, brick upon brick, in exactly the right space to build that wall as it needs to be built. He says, that's how we are to take the word of God. We are to look at it and build upon it, brick upon brick upon brick, being precise with how we handle the word of God. Amen. There was some billboards out there and messages from God were written all over the country. One of them said, have you read my number one bestseller? There will be a test. God. There's going to be a test. Have you read the book? Reading at pulpit speed, I am told it would take 71 hours to read through the Bible. That's approximately 12 minutes a day. Wow. Do you think you can spend 12 minutes a day reading the Word of God? Hearing from this inerrant, infallible, inspired letter from God Almighty. In America, we've banned the Bible from every place. Imagine an America where the Bible was not neglected. There'd be no verbal abuse, no physical abuse, no drug or alcohol abuse, no sexual harassment, no immorality, no AIDS, no STDs, no abortions. And we could go on and on and on. Now, I'm not talking about making the Bible the law of the land. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if we simply live by the precepts of the Word of God, our whole country would be different. Sad part is, Christians don't do it. That's why God said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. My people, us, don't abuse it. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, don't abuse the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay, no Scripture can be lifted out of context of the whole. The Bible needs to be understood in context. What the verses around it say, what the verses in the entire book says, who the book was written by, what the book was written for. There's context to every part of the Word of God, and we cannot simply take the Word of God out of context and think that it means something. You see, any text taken out of context is simply a pretext. We kind of use this proof reading of the Bible to get it to say what we want it to say when that's not the case at all. We need to be understanding what God is actually saying to us and live it out. That's my job. That's what I endeavor to do every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. As I stand before you, I endeavor to give you what God says in His book. Amen. I will tell you what He says. Understand it. Know it. Read it. You're here long enough, you will get a well-rounded biblical education.
Amen.
Amen. Just come and listen. Come take notes. Come and hear. Don't neglect what God has done. And don't ever add to the book. God said, don't do that. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. Verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't add your thoughts, your ideas, your opinions into the Word of God. It is God's Word. It is exactly what He would have us to know and to live to please Him. It is the sword of the Spirit. A father was sending his son off to a liberal seminary in Europe to study for the ministry. The father's last advice was, don't let them take Jonah away from you. And soon this became a joke between the two of them. 3 years later, the father asked, is Jonah still in your Bible? The son responded, it's still in mine, but not in yours. Father was taken back and started to chuckle. Then he began to look. After some fumbling and then a trip to the table of contents, he turned to where it should be in the Bible, and sure enough, it was missing. He looked up and the son said, I cut Jonah out of your Bible 3 years ago. What's the difference between my losing Jonah to higher criticism and you're losing Jonah to neglect? How sad. There are so many Christians who would stand up and say, I believe the Word of God. I believe it is exactly what you said it is, Pastor. I believe it is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. And then they take it home after Sunday morning, put it on a desk, a dresser, and let it collect dust till they pick it up to go back to church again the next week. How sad. It is the Word of God. Amen. And if you are to be fully prepared against the wiles of the devil, you need to put on the entire armor of God and make sure you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Our Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given to us your Word, which is completely without error. And we know your mind, your will, your heart, your commands for us. I pray that we would not neglect it on a daily basis. I pray that we would read it. I pray that we would understand it. I pray that we'd live it out. Lord, impress upon us again the importance of your Word, the importance of getting it into our lives, that it might be lived out in front of others daily. Lord, guide and direct in every decision that is made. And I pray that you draw each one of us into a further commitment to be in your Word every day. Lord, work, bless, guide and direct. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, what does God want you to do? What decision does he want you to make? Has he taken the Word of God and spoken to you about it? You say, Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I have placed my faith and trust in Christ. I know that I'm saved. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God has written you a love letter. He's written you instructions for life. He has written and given to you his will. We don't have to search for it. 95% of it is written down for us. Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you living it out? What is your relationship to the Word of God? You say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me. I want to further commit myself or recommit myself to the Word of God. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Anyone else, just put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You don't know for certain that you're saved. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know that heaven is your home. You don't know that Jesus Christ is yours. You say, Pastor, I don't know those things. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks the Word of God to us, applies it to our lives, and shows us what we need to do with every single message from the Word of God. I pray that you'd guide in our hearts, draw us to you, and bring us into that commitment to be a person of the book or a recommitment to do that. Lord, work. Lord, for the one who raised their hand and others that may be in our midst, unsure of their soul's salvation, Lord, I pray that today you draw them to you in salvation. Show them it is their greatest need. Show them you've already met it in Jesus Christ, and they simply need to repent and come and trust you as their Savior. And I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, work in all of our hearts and draw each one of us into a better relationship with you. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It is a time when we do just that, invite you to make the decision that God has called you to make, the one that he's spoken to your heart about. Right now, make that decision. Don't put that decision off. Make it today. Do what God wants you to do as we sing on verse number 1. You come.